Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're doing some brainwashing this morning here at Railbird Central. In addition to that, we'll begin you ready for tonight's preseason game, the preseason opener, the first game environment of the 2013 season for the Green Bay Packers. They host the Arizona Cardinals this evening at Lambeau Field. Action gets underway at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. That is kickoff. I believe the actual coverage starts at 6 o'clock p.m. On television, local television at least. So I think if you're listening to this show, you've got your evening set. But before we talk more about the game, I want to talk plenty about the game. Don't worry about it. But I do want to touch upon this whole Greg Jennings brainwashing thing that popped up. I believe it popped up on, what was it, Wednesday? We had already recorded the last episode of Railbird Central Wednesday morning. Then Wednesday afternoon, this happened. And I am flabbergasted with Greg Jennings. It just seems to be getting worse with him. And I saw on ESPN this morning, I kind of wondered, you know, how maybe the national media was perceiving this. Not, you know, I kind of know what it's like to be a Green Bay Packers fan and know how they perceived it. But I was tuned into Mike and Mike this morning on ESPN2, and they're going through some segment, and a question was posed to them: who needs to shut up more, Greg Jennings or Wes Welker? Of course, Wes Welker being asked about his thoughts on his former coach, Bill Belichick, but beside the point, even the national meeting saying Greg Jennings needs to shut up. It's flabbergasting. Greg Jennings, for the little bit of background here, Greg Jennings in an interview on KFAN radio said that he was brainwashed, quote, brainwashed, unquote, in Green Bay. Saying you're taught that everything is the best, and that maybe things outside the division are better than they're made out to be in Green Bay. And, the most head-scratching thing perhaps of all this, Greg Jennings makes me scratch my head, but I've almost considered him a lost cause by now because I don't understand his end game. I don't know what he's getting out of this other than to simply motivate the Packers. I mean, that's really, if anything, that's what's happening. I mean, he's giving the Packers extra motivation, extra bulletin board material to just go out and pound him and the Vikings. What is he getting out of it to badmouth the Packers? It is weird. And I thought it was really weird that Dan Wiederer of the Minneapolis Star Tribune has taken to, well, multiple platforms, really, to defend Greg Jennings and saying how this has gotten out of control. Dan Wiederer has taken to Twitter, has appeared on a local radio show himself, I believe wrote a column about it. All saying this is getting out of hand or taken out of context. It's weird. I don't think it is at all. I mean, nobody is forcing Greg Jennings to say these things. In fact, he's been asked by his head coach, Leslie Frazier, to stop saying such things. But yet Jennings can't help himself. He used the word brainwashed. Do you know the implications that word has? I mean, even if the rest of his comments could simply be thrown away, the word brainwashed alone is, that's a strong statement. That is a strong statement about what happened in Green Bay. I don't believe a word of it personally, but you know, to think that this is not a big deal, I think is being naive, especially in the context of the narrative Jennings has spun over the course of several interviews, from not calling Aaron Rodgers by name to say there's some sort of cookie cutter environment in Green Bay, whatever that means, to saying Aaron Rodgers has created a spotlight for himself. This is all very, very weird, and I don't understand it whatsoever. I don't know what Greg Jennings is getting out of it other than to give the Packers motivation to beat him. It just really is. His feelings are hurt. I can't put it any other way. He probably wanted more money from the Green Bay Packers, but they wouldn't give it to him. I'm with the Packers. I don't think he deserved the contract he got from the Minnesota Vikings. I think the Minnesota Vikings, Greg Jennings might have a good year this year, maybe next year, but when they start getting to years 4 and 5 of that 5-year deal, I think they're going to be starting to regret it then, when they're still paying him big bucks for an aging wide receiver. And I can't blame the Packers for not giving him that type of money. Not that I don't think Greg Jennings is... I think, you know, especially if he's healthy, as he appears to be right now, I think he is a top wide receiver in the league. I think he's a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver. I think he could be that this year for the Vikings, as long as he stays healthy and doesn't have the injury problems he did last year when he had that abdomen issue, had to have surgery. But I do think he's good. No doubt about it, as a player. I have questions about his now, what he's like off the field, but I do think he's a good player. But yeah, I am baffled. I am baffled this morning by Greg Jennings. But so there's my rant on Greg Jennings, let's spend the rest of this episode previewing tonight's preseason opener. First time we're seeing Packers football in a game environment this evening. Like I said, kickoff 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. And I think the major storylines tonight all lie on the offensive side of the football for the Packers. I'm excited to see the defense and the special teams as well, in particular the kicking competition. But I think your major storylines tonight, if you're a Packers fan, you're watching the offensive side of the football. One of the big storylines coming out of yesterday and Mike McCarthy's press conference is that all 4 quarterbacks are scheduled to play in tonight's game. Or that is Mike McCarthy's hope, at least, saying the starters would play, but he doesn't know how much. So you are going to see Aaron Rodgers play tonight. And that is no surprise. I think it's in poor form when you force season ticket holders to purchase preseason tickets and pay full price for them to then take the starters out of the game. I think it's good that they actually let the starters play, and there are kids out there that can actually see Aaron Rodgers in what might be one of their few attempts to actually attend a game at Lambeau Field. So that's a good thing. It certainly wouldn't bother me at all if the Packers took Aaron Rodgers out of the game after one series. Heck, I wouldn't mind if they took him out after one snap. But, by all means, even if they go 3-and-out, take Aaron Rodgers out of the game. Let these backups play. And apparently all 3 of the backups will. Of course, the attention this week is all on new acquisition Vince Young. And Mike McCarthy saying yesterday he hopes that Vince Young will play in tonight's game against the Cardinals. rather surprising, or kind of surprising, considering he's only been in Green Bay since the beginning of the week. What was it? Tuesday was his first day of practice. So he's only, you know, had three practices in a Green Bay uniform. He had a tryout the day before. And, you know, he had, you know, after signing his contract, he certainly has, well, he will be with the Packers now for 5 days or so, considering today and the time they're going to spend throughout the course of today just to simply catch him up and give him a crash course on the Packers offense. But he is going to play tonight, apparently. Now, I would not expect Vince Young to play very long. I'm not sure at what point he'll even get in the game, whether they'll try him to be the second quarterback in the game, the third or the fourth, maybe the last series of the game. Whatever Vince Young plays, I would not expect him to play much. I'm talking a series or two for Vince Young. I just don't think he is that comfortable yet in the Packers offense. He doesn't know all that many plays, doesn't, you know, is not intimately familiar with the terminology, his progressions, his reads, all those things. I think you're talking a series or two for Vince Young tonight. And really, I think you're going to see the bulk of the playing time given to Graham Harrell and BJ Coleman. You know, the playing time for Aaron Rodgers is only going to ramp up the next two preseason games, the second game, the third game, when they play more than a half. They play into the third quarter. So this is the opportunity to see Graham Harrell and BJ Coleman, giving them the most time as possible. This is their moment to shine. I actually was reminded that Graham Harrell tonight is going to receive the MVP award for last year's Bishop's Charities game. If you don't know, the first preseason game held every year at Lambeau Field is designated the Bishop's Charities game. It is it's a game that a history that goes back decades, 50 years or more even. It's just a tradition that the local bishops kind of use this as a platform to for charity, that they raise money and give to charity. But anyway, Graham Harrell was last year's MVP of this game, and here he is. You know, he's going to be getting a lot of playing time tonight, and him and BJ Coleman, and the quarterback competition, of course, is now rather interesting with Vince Young coming in here, apparently being given a chance to be the Packers' number two quarterback after BJ Coleman looking rather poor during last week's family night scrimmage. And you know, I agree, I was incredibly disappointed with how BJ Coleman played. I thought I would see much bigger strides taken from him this year than I have seen so far. Albeit it was just one scrimmage, I'm not going to base my entire opinion on him on that one occasion. But no doubt about it, I mean, he's got to make some major strides, and it has to start tonight. I mean, if BJ Coleman has any chance of making the roster, he's got to start looking good. I mean, they all do. Graham Harrell as well. Graham Harrell, you know, he's the default number two guy. I think, you know, as things stands right now, if the Packers are looking for a backup quarterback, Graham Harrell is my guy until proven otherwise. I realize I have now seen Graham Harrell for this is the fourth season. He's never really done all that much to impress. He's looked okay in the preseason from time to time. You see him in the regular season last year. His you know, fumble comes to mind that was returned for a touchdown against the New Orleans Saints. That's kind of disappointing. You know, he doesn't have a major arm. And I think eventually the Packers are going to have to get another promising young quarterback. They're going to have to draft somehow, bring somebody in. I don't think Vince Young is the answer, but by all means, I will give him a chance. I will give Vince Young a shot. We'll see how he plays tonight. The reports from training camp are that Vince Young has not looked very good in his three practices. He's thrown four interceptions already, according to observers. That's practice environment. We'll see how he fares in a game. Maybe Mike McCarthy can make something out of him and the rest of the Packers coaching staff for that matter. Ben McAdoo and offensive coordinator Tom Clements. Maybe they can make Vince Young into a good NFL quarterback. I am dubious. I'm not sure I believe that. But I'm going to give them a shot, and it starts tonight. I wouldn't expect Vince Young to play a lot, but we'll see what he's got when he drops back to pass. I'm really excited to see where the ball goes. So, in addition to the quarterback position, the other thing we're looking at on the offensive side of the football is the offensive line, and in particular, rookie left tackle David Bakhtiari, who will be replacing an injured Brian Bulaga in the lineup. As it was learned this week, Brian Bulaga is going to be lost for the season with a torn ACL in his left knee, going to have surgery on it next week. During practice this week, David Bakhtiari has been replaced Bulaga in the offense on the offensive line, and Mike McCarthy said that he's going to get the first crack at replacing him, being the long-term replacement, and so far so good for Bakhtiari. Everything we've seen thus far in training camp and last week's family night scrimmage has all been positive. He looks better than where he was drafted. You know, David Bakhtiari was a fourth round, mid round draft choice. You don't expect a whole lot from those kind of guys, but he showed a maturity kind of beyond his years. He looks good out there in pads. He looks physical. He looks like he's got the feet for the position. You know, when you're a left tackle or a tackle in general, you got to be able to slide and shuffle those feet. Better than, say, an interior lineman, and he's done it thus far. Whether or not how much push he gets in the run game, we'll find out. But again, you know, it all starts tonight. So, I mean, that's who a lot of people are going to be watching tonight, is David Bakhtiari and how he fares. Mike McCarthy has said, you know, the most of the starters on the offense won't play long. Aaron Rodgers is going to play one series, maybe two. But Mike McCarthy said David Bakhtiari is going to play longer than Josh Sitton. You can imagine the guys who have been there for years like Josh Sitton. The Packers know what they've got in him. They're not going to play him for long. They're not going to expose him to injury. But they are going to keep David Bakhtiari out there a little bit longer, get him a little bit more experience, see what he's got to him. So he's, you know, expect him to play with the second string as well, staying in there at left tackle. But you know, in addition to David Bakhtiari, it'd just be interesting to watch all the positions along the offensive line, in particular over at right tackle. People kind of thought for a while when Bulaga went down, maybe they would move Marshall Newhouse back to left tackle, where he's played much of the past two seasons. That doesn't appear to be the case. They are going to keep Marshall Newhouse at right tackle, so it'll be interesting to see him for the first time in a game environment as the starting right tackle. That'll be the first time for him too, even though we've kind of seen him there all camp so far, be the first time in a game, and he'll be competing with Don Barclay. And it'll be interesting to see how the Packers use Don Barclay. They were kind of, you know, using him all over the place early in training camp. They want him to be a backup center. They want him to be a backup guard. They want him fighting for the right tackle position. They basically want Don Barclay everywhere but left tackle. They want him to get comfortable at all those other positions, kind of being your seventh offensive line or sixth offensive lineman, the sixth best guy right now. He's going to come in the game should anybody get hurt, and would come in the game at almost any position outside of left tackle. So, interesting too, yesterday during practice in Green Bay, the Packers were minus three offensive linemen just yesterday. And this, that's in addition to the guys who have been missing. I mean, go back to the start of training camp. We got J.C. Treader missing. We've got Derek Sherrod on the PUP list. We've got Brian Bulaga with a torn ACL. Now, yesterday in practice, three more dropped out. T.J. Lang, your starting right guard, has some sort of back problem, has a sore back. Who else dropped out? You've got Andrew Datko suffered a concussion. He's more than likely not playing tonight. And then yesterday, at least just yesterday in practice, apparently offensive lineman Lane Taylor, his wife gave birth to their to a child. So he missed yesterday's practice, but all things, assuming things went well, he should be back and playing tonight, which is good news. But getting a little bit thin on the offensive line in general, getting a little bit scary in that the Packers were down to just nine offensive linemen yesterday at practice. Now, assuming Taylor's back, they should have at least 10. Maybe we could even perhaps have TJ Lang back if his back isn't bothering him too bad, but I'm not holding out too much hope in the first preseason game. They tend to be rather cautious, but the offensive line is getting a little bit thin there, almost a little bit scary. A lot of these backups, especially guys who are not starters, they're going to be playing the bulk of the game. You have to imagine they're going to take Josh Sitton, Evan Dietrich Smith out of the game rather quickly, the starters who are firmly entrenched. But beyond that, we're talking Greg Van Roten, we're talking Lane Taylor. These guys are going to be playing a lot of snaps this evening. They're going to be playing, from the second quarter to the fourth quarter. Getting a little thin there. I got to think the Packers are going to have to place Bulaga here on injured reserve just to free up a roster spot for them to sign another offensive lineman, because they are getting a little bit thin there, especially with Derek Sherrod not coming off the PUP list, unless he does rather soon. They need somebody there that in case of a miracle, they can always use that designated to return injured reserve slot on Brian Bulaga in case of a miracle. They have that option open to them, but for the time being, I think they got to free up a roster spot to bring in another offensive lineman here, because that position, the depth chart, is not looking too good right now. But regardless, assuming who's healthy tonight stays healthy, be interesting to see how they use these guys, how long they play. Be interesting to see Bakhtiari at left tackle, Newhouse at right tackle. So I'm excited to watch that tonight. And then finally, elsewhere in the offense, like I said, all the major storylines on the offensive side of the football tonight. Lastly, the running back position. How is the reps going to be split tonight among the running backs? You saw earlier this week, Eddie Lacy kind of entrenching himself as the top option, as the starter in Green Bay. On Tuesday during practice, he got the most reps he's received all training camp so far. So Eddie Lacy kind of establishing himself there. Then all of a sudden, Wednesday comes around and he's out of practice. Apparently has a hamstring issue. Thursday comes around, Eddie Lacy takes part in the team's warm-ups, but doesn't do anything else. So while it appears he is getting better in terms of his hamstring, what are the Packers going to do with Eddie Lacy tonight? Are they going to play it safe and not expose him to further injury or risk his hamstring getting worse perhaps? Or might they give him a few snaps tonight, as long as it's a minor issue and they feel like
he could use the reps. They need to see him in a game environment. So we're kind of waiting on that. I think they will err on the side of caution. I see John on the live blog saying, I quote, "I hope they rest Lacy tonight." And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they do that. It wouldn't surprise me to see the Packers rest Eddie Lacy, err on the side of caution. There is still three more preseason games left, which is plenty of time to get ready for the regular season. But who knows? He was wearing a helmet yesterday in practice. He did take part in their warmups. Maybe they wanted him to see the plays the Cardinals were running, see the scout team, and see what is going to be presented to him. I don't know. Maybe he gets one series too. Eddie Lacy starts the game and is then taken out for the rest. But regardless, whether Eddie Lacy plays or not, it's, one of the things to watch is how do they split up the reps with the rest of the backs there? Who's going to be the starter? It was interesting yesterday in an interview in the USA Today, Mike McCarthy actually said that he considers the starter to be DeJuan Harris, the guy who came on late last year. But as DeJuan Harris is currently on the PUP list, has not practiced yet. I don't see him playing in tonight's game whatsoever. They're kind of waiting for his knee to get healthy. But just interesting that Mike McCarthy would say that, seeing as he didn't, partake in the entire offseason program. He hasn't practiced in training camp yet. You almost would think that, he would not be the starter anymore. But who will be tonight? Will it be James Starks? I got to think it's James Starks. I mean, that's who kind of got the start in the family night scrimmage, and James Starks looked good. He didn't look great, but he did fine. Getting 4 yards of carry, which is kind of what you expect, but he did his job and he did it okay. I got to think the Packers kind of stick with James Starks at least for tonight, at least for the time being. The other veteran in camp is Alex Green. He missed one practice this week when his knee apparently flared up on him, but he came back. I think he was out for Tuesday, but practiced both Wednesday and Thursday. So that's a good thing that he would seem to be fine for tonight's game, considering he practiced the last 2 days. So Alex Green should be, at least part of the rotation. But then and there are the rookies as well. Jonathan Franklin. Everybody's excited to see Jonathan Franklin just because of the speed he brings to the position. That you saw him use him during family night a lot of times on those outside runs to the outside. Off tackle. I think the Packers see that that's where his bread and butter is going to be. They're going to use his speed to get to the edge, whereas they're going to use Eddie Lacy and James Starks banging on the inside more often than not. But be interesting to see Jonathan Franklin get receiving passes out of the backfield, even in pass protection. I think those are the ways the Packers can use him, perhaps as your prototypical third down back, should they choose to use somebody in that kind of role other than John Kuhn. And finally, Angelo Pease as well, the undrafted rookie out of Kansas State. He scored a touchdown in last week's scrimmage on a dump-off pass. So he's off to a good start in camp, too, a promising young player there. So that, all the storylines tonight are on the offensive side of the football. Not that I'm not excited about the defense. I'm excited to see Dayton Jones and Nick Perry out there. I was excited to see the safety competition play itself out. Who's going to win that job? Jerron McMillan or MD Jennings? Those are all fine and dandy. It's just, the storylines of the past week have put more emphasis and focus on the offensive side of the football. And as special teams too, of course, everybody will be watching to see how Mason Crosby fares tonight and how the kick returners do as well. Can't imagine they're going to give Randall Cobb any kick returns tonight, especially with him nursing a little bit of a biceps injury. Jeremy Ross going to get plenty of opportunities, and Jonathan Franklin and the rest of the guys too. So that'll be worth watching. But it's now past 9 o'clock a.m. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday morning, folks. Enjoy the game this evening. I know you'll be tuning in. If you're listening to this show, you'll be watching the game unless you have some sort of other pressing plans, which maybe you do. But anyway. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back once again next week, next Monday, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here. The live edition of Railbird Central is at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, 3 days a week. But we'll see you later, everyone. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. I leave you today with a song called Believe the Lie by Umphreys McGee on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack. Go Pack.